This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, it's going to be a great show tonight, and I'm right. We're going to do a little smorgasbord in the beginning. I don't know if that's how you say that. Sarah Gonzalez, Ryan Gruduski talking about the primaries last night, and we have an NBA superstar. All that on I'm Right. Welcome to I'm Right. It's time to talk about election season. I know primaries were last night. Big primaries were last night. Places like North Carolina, Pennsylvania, the hot news of the day, Madison Cawthorn lost in his primary in North Carolina. Pennsylvania's crazy, of course. They're having ballot problems. We're going to talk about that with Ryan Gruduski a little later on in the show. So let's table the primary discussion because we have bigger fish to fry right now. Let's talk about 2022, not primary season. Let's talk about the general election. I know the primaries matter. They matter a lot. Let's talk about the general. What's it look like? What's the mood out there? Well, I thought, and I don't think I'll ever say these words again. I know I've never said these words before, but I think Chuck Todd summed it up best.
Where are we right now with the new NBC News poll? The wrong track, sitting at 75%. This is obviously in shellacking territory.
Shellacking territory. Let me make sure that is what he said. Shellacking territory. If Chuck Todd, a propagandist for the Democratic Party, is officially declaring a shellacking, that's a very good sign. Remember, these people, they always overestimate for the Democrats. Overestimating is now a shellacking. That's good, right? And let's pause for a moment before I get into the butt stage. Smile. I know it's been rough. Since Joe Biden has gotten into office, it's been really, really bad. I don't think there's been a more disastrous presidency over this course of time. It's been awful. Scandal after scandal, disaster after disaster. You can't afford hamburger. But a potential shellacking, Democrats scared, that's something to smile about, something to feel good about. And when we get things to feel good about, it's important that we take a moment to actually feel good. Now, for the but portion of it. Understand something. Understand that we're not going to just have them lay down. That is not how the communist thinks. Remember, this is not a game to him. It's not a side hobby. It's not an interest that he'll get to whenever he's done with normal life. This is his religion, and he is devout. He's not going to look at these poll numbers and hear Chuck Todd use words like shellacking and say, wow, oh well, you know what? I'm just going to go have a beer. Let's call it a day. It's not how he thinks. He's going to try to mitigate the losses in the very least. So what will they do? Well, when you're dealing with people without any moral compass or any set of values at all, they're going to do terrible things. We just had a disgusting, awful mass shooting in Buffalo. As you know, we don't give out the name. We don't talk about the manifesto on this show. But it was just terrible, absolutely terrible. People going grocery shopping, mowed down by some sicko. And that's dark, right? Well, Again, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Understand that as that was happening, Democrats weren't sitting around a table talking about something nice they can do for the victims' families. They were sitting around a table talking about how they can use this for political gain. Here's scumbag New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy.
The tragedy in Buffalo, New York, where an 18-year-old white supremacist pumped full of racist and nationalist conspiracies targeted black residents doing nothing more than shopping for their groceries, shooting 13 and killing 10 in what cannot call anything but an act of domestic terrorism. So cue the expected and pitiful expressions of thoughts and prayers from those held so powerfully in the grip of the gun lobby. And as it pertains to Buffalo, cue the hurried backpedaling from the right-wing talking heads and politicians who have so freely and openly peddled the garbage replacement conspiracy. I can't bring myself to call it a theory, and who can't possibly believe that the words that poisoned our airwaves and rotted our civil dialogue with could actually come home to roost. I think every single one of them knows where they could shove their thoughts and prayers.
Shove your thoughts and prayers. I do actually enjoy this new Communist Party we have. I do enjoy how honest they are. Shove those prayers. I don't have any need for your prayers. And isn't it funny? Well, not funny, sad, but also kind of funny that they would take something terrible and immediately make it about you. You see, you might not have known, but this was actually your fault. It's your fault for the values you have, the thoughts you have. You're a white supremacist. You're a nationalist. And don't kid yourself. They think you're the same as that racist scumbag who shot up that supermarket. These people, in their eyes, you're no different. And they're going to ride this racism lie into the ground. And what is the racism lie? Not that there aren't racist people. Tons of racist people. There always have been, always will be. The racism lie is that there's some pervasive amount of white supremacy in the country. That's simply not true. In fact, I would argue, with maybe the exception of pedophilia, that there's not a worse label you can have assigned to you. If you really were a white supremacist, not the Democrat version of trying to make you one, but if you really were one, I'm talking swastikas and Klan hats and whatever else those people do, if that actually came out, your life would be over like that, immediately. No job, no wife, no kids, no life. You'd have to move to another town and change your name. There's no more reviled thing in American society today than white supremacy. And they know that, of course. And so it gives them ideas for the 2022 election.
What the Democrats need to do, and it's so obvious at this point, is brand them with it, is basically take this replacement theory and now make it the Republican racist replacement theory. Make every Republican answer, do you believe in it or not? Brand every Republican, this is the party of the replacement theory. Take what is a sliver, or I'm a real minority, but a minority, and make it the entire raison d'etre of the Republican Party. Do the same thing with violence. It's the RV party. It's the Republican violence party. Brand them, this is judo, the very, very heinous things that they stand for and are hiding behind. Brand them on it. Take a branding iron, put it on them so that any mainstream Republican has to wear that badge.
I'll tell you this, that's supposed to make me angry. I admire it. That's how they play. And they know it will work on so many of our loser Republicans. How many times did you see over the last 5-6 years Republicans, I don't like white supremacy, I'm against it. So you denounce white supremacy? Yes, yes, I'm a good boy, I denounce it, I'm a good boy, guys. That's what they do. I support that guy right there because he knows he's facing a bunch of weak chumps who will spend their time playing defense instead of playing offense. Well, I definitely denounce white supremacy, white replacement theory of... Don't let them play defense. These are the sick freaks who want to teach 10-year-old boys to cut their penis off. These are the sickos who have wide opened our border, if that's even a word or a way to put it, and are invading the country with illegal immigrants. These are the sickos who destroyed us in Afghanistan and got 13 of our warriors killed. These are the people destroying the energy industry. play offense, no defense ever. We are up against people who will lie and lie and label and lie and label and lie, and they're never going to stop. They're never going to wake up one day and say, well, I don't know. I guess we should feel bad. We lied. These people lie for a living. Look at the president himself.
Look, we've seen the mass shootings in Charleston, South Carolina, El Paso, Texas, and Pittsburgh, last year in Atlanta, this week in Dallas, Texas, and now in Buffalo, New York. White supremacy is a poison.
Dallas, Texas? Is that what he said? Dallas, Mr. Producer, I may have this wrong. Let me check my notes here. Black dude shot three Korean people. White supremacy in Dallas, Texas? Look at that white supremacist right there. Is that the Grand Wizard of the KKK? I can't tell, guys. Look, they're going to play offense. And on top of playing offense, on top of lying to you about race and racism and all these other things, let's consider what they did to win the last election. Remember this. And I know this is wild. I was thinking about this. This morning during breakfast, I just sat back and I thought, man, it seems like it was only yesterday we had a booming economy, and Donald Trump was going to sail to re-election. This is 2019. The economy was booming. Energy independence, 100% black unemployment. I mean, well, the highest it had ever been in the country. I mean, just across the board, great numbers. And Donald Trump was sailing to re-election. So what happened? Well, coronavirus happened. Don't think for one second these people are not going to bring that back again, or at least attempt to bring that back again. Why wouldn't they? It helped them take all the power, win the presidency, Senate, House, all these state governments. I mean, of course, Dr. Fauci's still out there saying, well, I don't want to force anyone to do anything.
I don't like mandating things. I don't like punishing people for not doing something.
Oh, he doesn't like mandating things. Haven't you heard? He's a big freedom guy. Except New York, places like New York, the blue areas, are already jacking their COVID alert levels up to high. They're already giving advisement to people. Hey, no non-essential travel. Hey, don't be gathering in big groups out there. Any of these things sound familiar? We all know what's coming next. What's coming next is more government punishment. Over and over and over again. And let's talk about one last thing, the most dangerous thing. I mean, we have a corrupt system, right? We've talked about this a lot. We've talked about how the most dangerous thing in the world out there right now is Western governments turning against their own citizens, and that's very much happening here in the United States of America. Do you think CIA, DOJ, NSA, FBI, IRS, do you think these groups are excited about an angry Republican takeover of the House and Senate in 2022 and the potential Republican president of 2024? Do you think they're excited about that or not? And if you said not, do you think they're going to just lay down and take it? I mean, do I need to remind you what they did in 2016? As we speak, we have a Durham trial going on. Clinton lawyer Michael Sussman's out there, and it looks really, really, really bad. You see, the FBI knew immediately when Sussman was feeding them all that Donald Trump's a Russian agent stuff. They knew immediately that was garbage, but it got leaked to the press anyway, and it turned into a 2-year Mueller investigation. Now, Durham's lawyers, to their credit, said this is a case about privilege. Privilege of a lawyer who thought that for the powerful, the normal rules didn't apply, and that he could use the FBI as a political tool. The defendant lied to direct the power and resources of the FBI to his own ends and to serve the agenda of his clients. Look, it's not just that Michael Sussman told them and they debunked it. He told them, they debunked that he ties to Alpha Bank and things like that. And yet, down to the FISA court they went with bad information to spy on the political opponent of then President Barack Obama. Now, those same people were at the FBI. In fact, more people that think like that are at the FBI. Do you really think the administrative state is just going to go, oh, well, 2022 is going to suck? I don't. These are not people who just give back power. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. And we're going to talk to Ryan Gradusky next about these primaries last night. He's all over this stuff. What happened? What should you take from it? We'll talk to Ryan about that. Now, let's talk about one other thing, the market. Now, I'm not some stock guru. I'm not. Never claimed to be. I invest as much as I can, but I don't know what I'm doing. But I do know this. I know guys who are these financial gurus, and you know what they tell me all the time? Do the opposite of whatever the public's doing. You see, right now, the public's fleeing, pulling their money out. The market's down. Guys like Mark Chaykin, who predicted the 2020 crash, he's not telling you to run and hide. He's telling you there's an opportunity out there, an opportunity. The smart guys always see opportunity when the market's down. Go to 2022stockmarketmessage.com and find out what that opportunity is. 2022marketmessage.com. Stockmarketmessage.com. We'll be back.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
What happened in those primaries last night? Are there lessons you should take from it? Did we win? Did we lose? I don't know. Ryan does, though. Joining me now, my friend Ryan Gradusky, founder of the great 1776 Project PAC. Ryan, okay, to unpack all these primary stuff. I see Madison Cawthorn's gone. Pennsylvania, of course, is a disaster. What happened last night?
Well, Madison Cawthorn, let's start with his race. Madison Cawthorn ended up losing by about 3 points to a state senator, a popular state senator in his district. Madison, as I wrote in an article for the website Unheard, didn't die of a fatal blow. He died of 1,000 small paper cuts. I mean, Madison made 1 million small mistakes, from trying to leave his district and move out of it to and then having to run it all over again, to getting caught in a number of lies. There was obviously the nude video, which was personally embarrassing. There was the accusations of insider trading. It just never ended. And at the same time, there was almost nothing that we could point to saying this is a legislative accomplishment or even an issue he was championing. If you want to be the Republican AOC, a big part of that is not just being a social media celebrity. It's actually having legislation that you're supposed to champion on the right. And he didn't have any of that. So I think that that was really problematic on his part. Pennsylvania is a disaster. I think a lot of late breakers flipped between Kathy Barnett and Dave McCormick. Dave McCormick also had a very aggressive mail campaign early on. That may help him when they're counting the votes, although I think Dr. Oz should have it in the end. I mean, we really don't know is the big question. I would put my money more on Dr. Oz. But look, it's very likely that one of these candidates is going to win by under 100 votes out of 1.3 million cast. And I think that just shows the field, a lot of people didn't have a candidate to choose from. I mean, it wasn't like these were two amazing candidates. These were two very lackluster candidates with a lot of problems, and people really didn't know where to go. So I think that's why we're seeing it so divided.
Let's focus on Madison for just a quick second. Death by 1,000 cuts. Obviously, you can't pick up your phone and look at a news site without seeing the guy's name in the headline somewhere, and I have no doubt he's made a bunch of mistakes. But a lot of this seemed to come from the right. A lot of the attacks on him seem to come from the right. Attacks on the left are not exactly a surprise, but why was he such a thorn in the side of the Republican establishment? Should we feel excited he lost? Should we be down and out? How should we feel about it?
You know, I said like last night, if you look at a lot of the races, we had a lot of good candidates who won in a lot of different races. There was Beau Hines in North Carolina, who was an ally of Madison Cawthorn's, who did win, who ran on a lot of the same issues, who's as young as Madison is. I think that the problem was, I mean, everyone claims it was that when he said that there was sex drug-filled orgies by 70-year-old octogenarian or 70-year-old or 80-year-old congressman that he was being invited to, which was a strange remark that he apologized for, though he insisted it was true. I I don't have a real opinion, but I don't mourn Madison Cawthorn losing, simply because, yeah, I like the way that he voted a number of times, but it becomes exhausting. I mean, he was not somebody who's been in office for 20 years and had a few scandals like Steve King did for saying things that were kind of inappropriate or that you had to defend but were kind of true. It came from Madison doing things over and over and over again, and you have nothing really to point to and saying, wow, he did something really great here. Yes, he voted against the aid bill for the Ukraine, which was good. He voted, he co-sponsored bills against illegal immigration, which was great. But at the end of the day, it was more about the personality, and the personality became very tedious to defend. It's also a guy who, you know, he, right after he was elected, a lot of his personal backstory that he made a part of his campaign to get elected turned out to be completely not true. From saying that his best friend left him to die when in fact his best friend had saved his life, to saying that he was part of the Naval Academy, which he was never part of. And then he got into a personal war with Senator Tom Tillis over the future of the party within the state. I'm no fan of Tom Tillis, but that was a big part of it as well. It just never seemed to end, and there was never a point where you're saying, well, yeah, he's got a lot of problems, but he's so great on so many things. He was good to mediocre on a number of things, and he was a lot to sit there and to protect over and over again. So I'm not excited he lost, but I'm not going to mourn that he lost as well, because it's not an overall message about the America First movement, because a lot of our candidates won. It's a problem of Madison's.
Let's go back to Pennsylvania. Obviously, you touched on it earlier. It looks like such an ugly mess with very little to get excited about, and this is a critical swing state, especially when it comes to the presidency in 2024. We have a governor's race going on there. Can you give us some kind of an update on all these things?
Yeah, so Doug Mastriano won the Republican nomination for governor. He won in a very large landslide. He was endorsed by President Trump. He had a lot of support on the ground. I personally do not believe he's a viable candidate for the general election. I do think he's probably going to lose the general election. He's extremely controversial in the state. But Doug ran by being to the right on every single issue and, of course, championing the cause of election integrity, which was very near and dear to a lot of Trump supporters' hearts. He was also the champion of the heartbeat bill. He had an A-plus rating from the NRA on guns. He was to the right on every single issue. And so it was very hard for anybody to really get anywhere, you know, around him talking about issues of maybe taxes or job creation. He's a culture warrior, but he's very controversial. Just I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, he was at a rally where they were saying 9/11 was an inside job. He has gone to QAnon events and has endorsed QAnon statements. He went to the rally on January 6th. If you were running in Arkansas, I think a lot of these things can be forgiven by voters. It's Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is a much, much, much different place. It's a purple state. It's a very suburban state. And I think he's going to have a very difficult time trying to beat Josh Shapiro, who is the Attorney General of Pennsylvania, who is not only an ambitious and well-crafted politician, but he's somebody who wants to run for president in 2028 or 2032. And so I think by not putting the best nominee up against him, we may be opening a future door to a possible presidential contender in the future. For the Senate race, Oz ran a horrendous campaign. I mean, a horrendous campaign. He allowed his opponents to define him. He had a negative rating of 46% among Republican primary voters, which is absolutely terrible. The super PAC for Dave McCormick was vicious towards him and very, very effective. And he wasn't as equally capable, his super PAC wasn't, at defining Dave McCormick, because there's no reason Dave McCormick should have won rural and western PA. This is a guy who loves China, who shipped jobs overseas. This is a guy who said President Biden has an amazing cabinet when he became president. But those messages were never reiterated throughout Western PA, where Dave McCormick picked up huge numbers. And I think that that's ultimately why it's such a tight race right now.
Ryan Gerdusky, he runs the 1776 Project PAC that's taking back school boards, which actually matter a lot more than everything we just talked about there. Go support it. Ryan, thank you, my brother.
Thank you.
All right. We still have a lot more to go. We actually have an NBA guy on next. I've never done that before. Someone who actually stood up to all the insanity. We'll talk to him in just a second. Before we get to that, let's talk about health. You worried about the health of your family? We all are, right? You want a healthy wife, husband, kids. We all want that. When I say buy an Eden Pure Thunderstorm, or more specifically, buy a three-pack of it, it's more than just making your home smell better. It kills viruses and mold. It took care of my allergies. This thing is wonderful in every way for your family. I get, how many emails do I read to you about this thing? Go. They have a three-pack for sale for my viewers. If you go to EdenPureDeals.com, you can get three of them for under $200. That's $200 off. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse gets you that deal. Code Jesse. We'll be back. I admire people who do difficult things and swim against the tide. The truth is, it's easy for me to sit here and complain and speak out against things like Antifa and Black Lives Matter and vaccine mandates and whatnot. That's what you're here to see. It's what I believe, and the first pays me to do that, so it works for everybody. But it wasn't so easy for other people out there. And I will tell you, one of the enduring images I remember from all this insanity when BLM and all the craziness was happening was watching this guy, who I didn't know, with the Orlando Magic, standing while everyone else didn't.
Perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
I tell my sons that's the type of man you want to be. Be that guy. And very proud to welcome that guy on to I'm Right. Jonathan Isaac, of course, NBA superstar with the Orlando Magic and author of a great book, Why I Stand. Jonathan, why'd you stand?
Thank you so much for having me, Jesse, first off. But why I stood was actually pretty simple to me. What happened to George Floyd was obviously tragic and awful. But what I tried to do was take a step back and think about what was the best way for me to respond in this moment. And during that time, there was so much pressure on the NBA players to have to kneel for the national anthem and to wear a Black Lives Matter t-shirt. But as I looked at my life, I said, I know that the love of Jesus Christ is what has truly changed me, what has truly supported my life, and I've seen it support so many other people's lives. And so I decided to not wear the t-shirt, not kneel for the national anthem, and stand up and pretty much just give the gospel as the antidote and the greatest message that I can see to for the times that we're living in.
Amen. What a light to shine. And you say there was pressure, and obviously I know that must have been true because we saw this infect all professional sports, but pressure from where? From who? What? Why did so many NBA players feel this pressure? I don't believe for a second that Jonathan Isaac was the only one out there who wanted to stand, who probably picked up on a scam when he saw one. I'm sure there were others, but why did everyone else succumb to pressure? Where did this pressure come from?
Well, it was definitely, I would say, society at the time because of how large, you know, the Black Lives Matter organization and just the movement was, and everybody kind of got swept up into it. And so you had organizations coming out and, you know, commercials and, you know, people posting about it and everything. So there was just immense pressure to conform to the moment. And then once you got into the bubble, there were two teams who had already knelt for the national anthem before us. And so it kind of was a domino effect where guys said, you know, we don't have a choice. This is something that we have to do because we don't want to be the team that doesn't kneel, and we especially don't want to be the player that doesn't kneel. But for me, it was just bigger. I didn't want to join into a fight. You know, everything had become political, you know, so much so that whether you wore the t-shirt or not or didn't, you were pretty much making a statement about who you are and what you believe. And people had already pinned that if you didn't wear the shirt and if you didn't kneel, you were this type of person, you know, an evil person to a degree. And so, you know, I just rejected that notion, and I know what it is that I believe. And I know that the message of the cross is ultimately what is going to change the hearts of men, because it is the hearts of men that need to change. Racism is not the only thing that plagues our society, and it doesn't, and it's an individual base. It's from one person to the other. And so, you know, that's why I decided to do what I did.
Jonathan, the NBA is obviously something I grew up with. I played basketball my whole childhood, very poorly. Not quite as good as Jonathan Isaac, but I played, and it's just something my cousins and I always watched. In my opinion, just my personal opinion, it's more American than baseball. But NBA is as American as apple pie. You know, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, Magic, like this is how I grew up. And I don't watch anymore, brother. I don't. And I don't know that I'll ever get over watching a sports league that I have adored my whole life overwhelmingly come out, forgetting the Black Lives Matter stuff, come out against the country I love. I found it to be so stunning and disheartening, and this isn't unique to the NBA, NFL, all of them, I just dropped them all, of people who are the most blessed people in the world. And I know I'm one of those people too, hating the place that blessed them. Where does that come from? Is that just misguidance? Is it evil somewhere? What is it?
Well, I think just, you know, times are changing and everything has become so political to where, you know, the decisions that organizations are making, there's pressure on them as well to conform, to march to a certain drumbeat. But, you know, at the end of the day, the NBA is, you know, their own organization and they get to do what they want to do. You know, even if it does, you know, offend other people or, you know, leave other people out, but it's ultimately up to them. But, you know, I'm here and I decided to write the book to give people my journey and my story about how I led up to the moment of standing. And that's just where we're at.
What kind of backlash you get in the locker room? Or did you get a lot of guys patting you on the back saying, hey, man, I'm with you. I don't want to take the heat.
Well, there's definitely more backlash. There were a couple guys who understood where I was coming from, and I even had the opportunity to have, you know, conversations with guys in other sports leagues that wanted to, you know, stand for the national anthem, but you know, were afraid of the moment and what would happen to them. But the backlash was there, and you know, it's granted, you know, to go against the grain and stand for ultimately what you believe in when it's not the popular opinion. I expected it, and I definitely got it. But there ultimately was a sea of encouragement and people who agreed with what I had to say and, you know, believed it for themselves.
Vaccines. One last thing. It wasn't just the BLM thing. You were loudly about personal freedom when it came to vaccines. And to the NBA's credit, actually, there have been a few of these guys. I know I've seen Kyrie Irving take a lot of heat about this. Your professional athletes, probably the greatest athletes on the planet, with the exception of maybe soccer players. I don't know. I guess we could have that argument. But you were not people in danger of coronavirus. You're just simply not. There's nobody fat out there in the NBA. No one old with pre-existing conditions. And yet they dropped these mandates on you guys, and you're one of the few who stood up. Why?
Well, to me, again, the decision to get a vaccine or not getting a vaccine, it became so political so fast. And ultimately, the decision that you made on it, again, people framed it as you're an evil person. And then you have the media and their you know, wanting to get an agenda across and then being biased to a certain degree about, you know, what people decided to do. I just was able to take a step back and say, you know what, I can kind of see what's going on. And I really had my kind of eye-opening moment when, you know, my position was completely misrepresented by the Rolling Stone article, to where I was like, okay, this thing really isn't about a vaccine. But early on, I just took a step back and said, look, I'm healthy. I'm okay. I don't have any comorbidities. I've already had COVID. So I have a level of natural immunity. And this is not something that I need. And so I just made that decision for myself. But to see people's religious and medical freedom be denied, see people lose their jobs, it was distasteful. And so I just said, you know what, this isn't something for me. And I'm going to, you know, stand up and use my voice and try to advocate for those people.
Wild. You get better science these days than you do, or from the NBA than you do from the Center for Disease Control. Jonathan Isaac, the book is Why I Stand. I appreciate you, brother. I wish you the best.
Yeah, thanks so much. I got it here, and just, you know, appreciate everyone to go out and get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere you get books. Thank you so much for having me, Jesse.
You bet, brother. Go get that book, Somebody Who Swims Against the Tide. Let's make sure we support him, huh? We're going to talk to Sarah Gonzalez of The Blaze TV next about all the politics of the day. Before we get to that, though, I know you're sticker shocked at the grocery store. We are, too. I get a text from my wife every single week. Do you know what we just paid for? I understand. And I can't fix all your grocery problems. I can help you out with the meat section, though. Beef, chicken, seafood. I know these are things you buy for your family. When you go to goodranchers.com/Jesse, what you're going to see is the best quality meat you can find, all American. They're Wagyu burgers. Oh, they're even individually packaged. They're premarinated chicken breasts, the works. And it's not just high quality meat I'm telling you about, American meat. You can lock in your meat prices when you subscribe. When you go to goodranchers.com/Jesse and you subscribe, you lock in your meat price. I don't care what inflation does, what happens to the market, your meat price never changes. Oh, and did I mention $25 off every box of meat you buy for the lifetime of your subscription? GoodRanchers.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Republicans are criticizing your decision, the administration's decision, to choose Nina Jankowicz to lead this disinformation board. They say she is not somebody who is neutral. Your response?
Eminently qualified, a renowned expert in the field of disinformation.
And neutral?
Absolutely so.
Very neutral, except now she's neutral and unemployed. Joining me now, my friend Sarah Gonzalez, of course, of the News and Why It Matters on Blaze TV. Sarah, look, it's not exactly shocking they would pick some card-carrying communist nut job to try to run their Ministry of Information or whatever they were trying to call it, but it is a little shocking that in this era where all you have endless information right here in the palm of your hand, no one bothered to go back and look through some of the things this nutball said before they put this woman out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it all comes down to the Democrats really embody the phrase, the arsonists are also the firefighters in every sense of the word. You have this woman who is the one spouting all of the disinformation that we should be worried about. Of course, she gets promoted. You have all of the people, you know, creating all of these problems with COVID. And of course, they are the same ones who are pushing the vaccine. I think the Democrats just really embody, they are the problem and they are also conveniently the solution. I would say too, though, Jesse, I wouldn't be so quick. I know there are a lot of Republicans who are very happy to hear that this all of a sudden has been broken up. I wouldn't be so quick to think that they're not just planning something behind the scenes instead of in your faces. As we know, they are very tone deaf, and I guess they thought that this might be a good idea for them to follow through with. But once they got laughed out of doing it, I think they're just going to become more secretive about it, because as we know, Democrats, really anyone in power, doesn't just seize power and continue to seize it and then somehow relinquish it. So I think that they're just going to be more emboldened to just go behind the scenes to do this type of thing.
Yeah. I mean, look, Sarah, do you remember most of your life the Democrats wanting censorship so badly? I just don't remember that for most of my life. In fact, you know what? Here's a great clip courtesy of Project Veritas of an executive at Twitter talking about, well, free speech.
The rest of us who have been here believe in something that's good for the planet and not just to give people free speech. It's going to be hard for him to be like, oh, because people should make their own decision. It's like, no, but people don't know how to make a rational decision if you don't put out correct things that are supposed to be out in the public. As an advertiser, as my business, is what I do every day and why I go out, is like, we want it to be as fair and transparent and accurate as possible.
Yeah.
And if that means there's a level of censorship to make it correct, quote unquote, again, and what does correct mean? I guess like, it just kind of goes back to the idea of like, well, what is correct? He has Asperger's.
Yeah, I know that.
So he's special. Your special needs, you're literally special needs. So I can't even take what you're saying seriously.
Sarah, I kind of love these videos because, boy, do they really just lay it out there nakedly for everyone to see.
Yeah, they do. I would say that was a very ableist what that guy said at the end. And I'm told by the Democrats that you are not allowed to be ableist. I just, look, when it comes to the censorship issue, Jesse, I would say that it's really reflective of how bad they know their ideas are. I think that the classical liberals back when the Democrats were somewhat sane didn't have to worry about all of the crazy ideas and censorship because they could at least explain their ideas. They could defend them. They can't do that anymore with the radical left and how extreme they've become. So they have to shut all of this, all of of this free exchange of ideas down because they know that any sort of push, any sort of criticism on their ideas, their entire idea will completely fall apart. So what else are they left to do but censor? And then you come up with people like this who run companies because they're a product of the indoctrination camps that we're sending our kids to. So there's no one really that's teaching anyone how to preserve free speech, how to respect the Constitution, respect free speech, what free speech even is. Who even cares about that anymore? Because we're indoctrinating a bunch of our children and all of these generations to not even care about this.
Well, speaking of indoctrination in children, this is this lady is real. This video is real. It's a little bit difficult to watch. I'm sure you've seen it already, Sarah. But for those who haven't, here it is.
Okay, hold on. You love it. And you want it, and you picked it out, but you don't want it for school. Can you tell me why?
Because last time I wore a dress to school, everybody called me a girl.
Do you think bright, pretty colors and dresses and sequins and jewels and golds, all the things that you always want to wear, do you think that's your innermost you?
It is.
Well, how are you going to be your innermost you when we live in a place that people think clothing belongs to a particular gender? It's a trick, isn't it? You know your mommy gets made fun of by people for looking like this, too.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
Nope.
Do you remember Jeffrey Marsh?
Jeffrey Marsh? Who's Jeffrey Marsh?
Jeffrey Marsh is one of the most beautiful people. Remember, they were born a boy, but they know that they're just them.
Mm-hmm.
What about Ty?
Ty, she's a girl.
They get made fun of sometimes too, man.
One, everybody obviously needs to say a prayer for that boy. I mean, I don't know what chance that kid has with that psychopathic freaking monster of a mother raising him. But Sarah, we've had mentally ill people in every society since the history of mankind, but our mentally ill people seem to very much enjoy broadcasting their mental illness for everyone. And I don't understand this world anymore.
Yeah, that's really what struck me and continues to strike me about all of these videos is that it's the parents are trying to have this very serious heart-to-heart conversation with their kids about gender, and they always seem to want to film it and paste it all over the internet for people to watch and see. That's the really sick part. Look, Jesse, I don't know why these people are not thrown in jail. I would fully support, I will never walk this back. I will fully support the death penalty for parents who do this to their children. It is child abuse. It is confusing the child intentionally. You saw that boy. He had no idea what his mom was saying. None at all. He wanted to go play with his toys, and he's sitting around and entertaining her, I guess, because he knows nothing different. This is complete and total child abuse, and these parents need to be held accountable for their actions. It's disgusting.
It is disgusting. Death penalty, sign me up for that. Put her on trial and send her off to the chair. All right, Sarah, finally, this is a little bit dark. The Democrats have gone with this corporations are at fault for inflation type thing, calling it profiteering and greed and whatnot. So after a lot of that messaging, Grandma Vodka got up and she talking about indictments.
When it comes to babies, it's the here and now and in this moment. I think that when all of this is done, I'm not associating my colleagues with what I'm going to say right now, I'm just saying it myself. I think there might be a need for indictment.
Sarah, who are they going to indict?
I hope themselves, because they're the ones who have botched this from the get-go. Yeah. I mean, I can't think of anyone else that you should indict, especially, when you're talking about the baby formula shortage, which, by the way, baby formula is one of the most regulated industries in the United States. They make it impossible, nearly impossible, for you to try to buy from European companies, European formulas, which, by the way, are much cleaner and much better for the baby. They don't want that here in America. They want you to only have access to complete and total junk, but they botched it from the get-go. They shut down the laboratory that produces all of this baby formula. They didn't find any link, and somehow it's still shut down. because of the FDA and the government. So who is it that should be indicted here, Jesse? I don't think that it's Abbott Laboratories. I don't think that it's anyone except a big government, which continues to get in the way and create problems for the American people.
See, this is why we need Dictator Jesse, Sarah, because I would most definitely bring down indictments. Probably not the ones Nancy Pelosi wants, but I would definitely bring some indictments down, Sarah.
I would love to see that, Jesse. I hope it happens someday.
Sarah Gonzalez, The News and Why It Matters. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right. We have a light in the mood next to put a smile on my face. One quick thing, though. Just quick thing. We have a history special, a communism special, coming on Friday about Lenin. You have to be a First TV supporter to watch it, though. Go to thefirsttv.com/support and sign up so you can enjoy a little scumbag communism and understand exactly what we're up against. We'll be back. It's time to lighten the mood. And I can think of few things that help me lighten the mood than watching other people have physical pain of some kind. I don't know why. I don't know why this makes me laugh, but daggone, it makes me laugh. Last one. All right. I'll see you tomorrow.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB. In the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.